Hello, and welcome to Broadcast Bullies Podcast. In this episode, we discuss the Flyers' playoff chances, fun times that come in Vegas, and the Rangers are sellers. Woohoo! All that and more. This is episode 106. And now for your hosts, Mark Zamaro and me, Tyler Mizutovich.
Flyers fly.
This immediately sounds much more stupid. Fly, Flyers fly. We should start singing it.
On a plane to Las Vegas.
With us. Man, that's awesome. Hey, everyone. Eagles are Super Bowl champs. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Good time for Philadelphia.
I feel great for them. The weird thing about not to talk too much football on this.
Yeah, but we always criticize people for doing that, but yeah, it's a special occasion.
Sure, they win their first Super Bowl ever. I just feel good for the fans, because what I noticed during that like playoff run was everybody was just bashing the fans. Like, people would find horrible things, Sure, there are some bad ones.
You're going to find that with any fan base.
Yeah, but it was like over the top, where people just wanted to rip Eagles fans. And, you know, good. I'm glad they won, because
they
didn't burn down the city.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, a couple things here
and
there.
Some awnings fell. And
I mean, to be honest, though, if somebody told you the Eagles were going to win the friggin' Super Bowl, didn't you think, like, buildings would be set on fire?
I thought either way. Win or lose, that there's going to be some damage done. But
yeah, a couple, like, awnings fallen and some light posts and whatnot.
One car got flipped, and somehow they arrested one guy for it.
He's a really strong dude.
I was like, well, maybe he's the mastermind behind it, I guess. But
he's the guy that said, yo, let's flip that car.
I was like, no, please, sir, don't do it. But, yeah, not too bad. But that's exciting, man. That's good stuff. Parade tomorrow. I won't be there.
No, I'm not going. Did you go to the Phillies one?
No, I had to work.
I did go to the Phillies one. And as cool as it was, like, it's kind of a disappointment. Because you get down there, and you can just get nowhere near anything.
Yeah.
And I don't like crowds either, so it wasn't my thing.
People waited 2 hours just to get passes to get downtown.
Yeah,
and then I heard that it's going to be a few hours wait just to get onto a train tomorrow to get down there to get into a crowd where you can't get close to the action to watch people pass for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I know I'm downplaying it. It's amazing. It's cool that, you know, when they won on Sunday, I walked down to I'm right outside the city, so I walked down to Hatboro, actually. That was a lot of fun. It was like an impromptu parade up York Road.
Yeah.
Cars were bumper to bumper. Everybody's hanging out of the car, drinking, beeping. It was pretty cool.
But they didn't, block the streets or anything, right? Like, traffic was still going? Or
it was only people parading.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it was seriously bumper to bumper in each direction.
Yeah.
Everybody with their windows down, hanging out, drinking beer, and just honking with Eagles flags, and the streets were all lined. It was really crowded in Hatboro. I don't know where everyone came from, but it was pretty cool. But
yeah,
I saw that.
That's some bars around there and stuff. So
yeah,
makes sense.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But other than that, if it was a Flyers parade, I'd be down there for sure.
Yeah. Now, where did you go when the Flyers won the Eastern Conference Finals in 2010?
I don't think I went anywhere.
No. Just watched it at home. Because I was out at the bars and stuff, and I was down at Frankfurt and Cotman, and people were burning Blackhawks jerseys and stuff. Yeah. We hadn't even played. No one even knew who was on the Blackhawks at that point. And they're just like, oh, screw these guys.
I think that's fun about the Flyers is that there's a lot of bandwagon fans when the Flyers get in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's more so than the Eagles. The Eagles it's an Eagles town. So
mm-hmm.
There's a ton of dedicated Flyers fans, obviously. But yeah, you get a lot of bandwagon fans. I think the same thing for the Phillies, too, you know?
Yeah, you get a lot of shoot-the-puck guys
exactly.
On the power play.
You're like, yeah, that guy on the Blackhawks, you know, that guy everyone hates is, you know, he's garbage, so.
And they want to see, you know, fights and fourth-line guys getting, you know,
yeah.
That guy brings energy. Let's play Goldberg more.
Exactly.
He deserves to be on the power play.
Yeah.
Put him in front of the net. That's always my favorite. If there's a big guy, put him in front of the net.
Yeah.
Because he'll just
That's
score
it.
Goals.
That's where you put him. Stand there. See what happens.
I worked for Dustin Buffalo, though.
Yeah. Once in a while. Char had worked for a little while, too, if you remember. That was the play in Boston.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Do you think there's going to be some good playoff hockey this year?
I don't know. Like, I keep waffling on whether they're going to make the playoffs or not. And as you know, we talked about it on like our last podcast. I'd put a list together of like what teams they needed, how their schedule needed to go the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, they ran into a little slump the last few days. So I think they were 2 points ahead of the pace, and now they're back to even, which is okay. It's so funny. Whatever games I pick that they need to win, they lose. Whatever ones I say they'll lose, they'll win.
Yeah. So you're right on target.
Yeah. So
what do you have them doing next? We'll assume they're going to do the opposite.
Yeah, well, I got them winning in Montreal, winning in Arizona, and losing in Vegas, unfortunately. But if I'm wrong, then we get to see a win.
That would be exciting.
Yeah.
We're going to get beat up in Vegas. I'm not scared of that, but that's just like that's the weird part is I've only done it once for hockey otherwise in an opposing team stadium. I was actually in Tampa. In my Flyers gear, cheering for the Flyers, watching them get, I think they lost 4-1. And I've told the story actually a few times because I got into a fight with that guy because I said that Fedotenko sucked.
Yeah.
But he's playing for the Flyers.
he's our guy. We're allowed to say he sucks.
He's like arguing with me. The one guy said he won us a Stanley Cup. I was like, nah, he didn't win you a Stanley Cup. He happened to be on the team.
Yeah.
But that was my only experience with that. So I can't imagine that it would be. It's going to be too vulgar against Flyers fans.
I can't think
there.
Of the last time I went to a road Flyers game. It was probably like in the late 90s against Washington.
Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's been a long time. Like, I think Peter Bondra was on the team.
So it's going to be a good time.
Yeah. I mean, I've been to the Devils Stadium. I've been to actually, yeah, their old stadium in the Meadowlands. I haven't been to the new one yet.
I plan on buying a Knights like T-shirt or something. So I'll wave that around. Like, no, I'm cool.
Yeah.
This light you have here is flickering, like dimmer and brighter above me. It's freaking me out.
Keeping you on your toes.
But yeah, so I'll just wave that around. But that's cool. Yeah, I wanted to kind of get, it seems like we usually don't look at our Facebook questions and then we answer some stuff without knowing it.
Yeah, let's give the people the proper credit.
Yeah, I feel bad because we really don't look at them. We're honestly doing that on purpose. We didn't want to look, and then we saved them, and then we thought, like, hey, here's some extra things we can get into. But it turns out that all the things we think are cool topics, people also think are cool topics.
Yeah, and then we're all on the same page.
Yeah, it seems like we're just biting off people. So in regards to the playoffs, Ray Telenowski says, I'm still not sold on them. My gut tells me they're not a playoff team. The inconsistency needs to stop, but hopefully I'm wrong.
Like I said, we'll dive into it a little bit more looking at the standings in a little bit. I don't know. They're right there. And what it's going to come down to is whether they can finish in fifth place in the Metropolitan Division. Because there's going to be three teams from the Atlantic who are all like on pace to be like, they could be winning the Metropolitan, as weird as that is.
Right.
That's like all eight Metropolitan teams in a row, and then the bottom five of the Atlantic. It's the weirdest thing in the standings right now. So it's going to depend. You know, I always go by the math. 95 points usually get you in or about there. That would take with 29 games remaining, a 15-8-6 type of run, which is 15-14.
Yeah.
That's a game over a real 500, which you... Hey, if they can't go a game over 500 and the stretch 30 games of their most important, then they don't deserve to be in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they should definitely do that.
David Delp actually dives into a similar thing. He says, so right now the Flyers are in a playoff spot with 59 points and 29 games to go. If you assume they need 95 points to get in, that's about 15-8-6 the rest of the way.
Well, he used the same thing.
With the division, he responded to your post here, sir.
I know.
With the division heavy schedule, I think they can do it. It helps that there are two teams. There will be two teams from Metro getting in because the Atlantic is a dumpster fire after Boston, Tampa, and Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, the way I came up on 15-8-6, because that seems like a lot of overtime losses, but I had originally started with 20-12-7 or something like that, and I've just been subtracting whatever they do and kind of got down to it. So there might be a better way to get to the 95 points.
Yeah, but I think that's a pretty solid way.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting. A lot of important divisional games coming up.
Yeah,
and also a few teams they haven't seen, like Vegas.
I know. It's going to be a little scary being in Vegas for them. But I think, like you've said before, is that they, since they have to play the day before, it's going to, I think it's going to work to their advantage a little bit.
It maybe? I don't know. Like, normally it wouldn't be, because who wants to play a game, jump on a plane, and then play the next day at roughly the same time? So it's not a good rest. I mean, they won't have a morning skate out there or anything, but...
Yeah, but they won't have time to get in anything either, so that could help them. DNA shenanigans, which would be fun if they did, because we're going to be there.
Yeah.
I want to find Giroux, like, in Caesar's Palace or something.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to be there, like, I mean, after? Or whether they're going to jump right on the plane.
It's a 5 o'clock game.
Because their next game is at home against Jersey, but I don't know exactly when it is.
That would be pretty... I didn't actually really think of that, the possibility, until this moment, that... How awesome would it be if later that night we were elsewhere and happened to run into the Flyers in Vegas?
Now, who do you think we would run into if we did?
Well, I would have to think Giroux would be one of them.
Probably.
I'm going to say Raffle.
I was going to say him too.
I don't know. Who else?
Now, Provorov's 21. Is Konechny 21 yet?
He might.
He's like right around it. He's either 20 or 21.
Yeah.
He'd be a guy I could maybe see, but if he's 20, I don't know.
Right. What can you do at that point?
That's just disappointing if that's the case.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be pretty exciting, though. Brian Elliott, he'll have to be like the dad, obviously.
Always.
Come on, guys. Moose.
I could totally see running into, like, LaPerriere or, like...
Yeah, right.
Some of the assistants or something out there. Like, that. Like, what do they got to wake up?
Yeah, who cares? Right? They can be hungover the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. We're going to have to pay attention to Twitter, see if we see anything. Because apparently there's going to be a ton of Flyers fans there, so...
I think so. Philly fans always travel well.
Yeah. And
this is something we actually followed through on. We were like, hey, Flyers are going to play in Vegas this year. Hey, let's go.
We still got time.
We can still bail out. Everything is paid for, and we still could find a way to bail out.
You know what? I'll wake up Saturday before my flight. Nah, I'm not feeling too hot. Oh, man. We're the worst.
Could definitely happen.
But yeah, that's exciting. I can't wait to be there, but I can't wait to see the Flyers play the Knights.
Yeah.
See what they can come up with.
I mean, I'm looking at this list now, and I do think there is some room for the Flyers, because I do have them beating the Rangers 2 out of 3 times. So that's one of the things I wanted to talk about was the Rangers.
2 out of 3 bad.
The Rangers are one of the teams the Flyers are going to need to finish ahead of if they have a chance.
Yeah.
And the Rangers have basically come out and said, we're going to sell. We're going to take a step back. Now, at this point, the Rangers are playing on TV right now against the Bruins, so we don't have the result. But
the Bruins.
Entering this game, the Rangers are 3 points out of a playoff spot. And
they're selling.
We're selling.
That's it.
Do you agree with this or not? I mean, I'll bring up their cap-friendly on the big screen here so you can see it.
Oh, look at this. This is...
Like,
technology.
Basically, they're talking about Rick Nash is going to be one of the guys they get rid of.
Yeah, he can certainly help a team. That's why.
Yeah, but he could also help the Rangers make the playoffs. He's just scored against the Bruins tonight a really nice goal, too.
I think that them selling is something that we had discussed before the season. And honestly, before the last season, we had discussed it.
Yeah.
And our reasoning was you have value in some of the guys that you have now. But you're on a downward slope here. Your team was really good. You had your playoff push, and you missed that window, I think, closed. And you still have some guys with some talent, and you could hang on to this team and be okay for a little while longer. Or you can cash in that talent for something for the future. I'm not very familiar with the Rangers farm system or anything, but from what I'm familiar with, I don't think they have too much going on for the future-wise right now. It seems like they're a little bit dry with bringing things up. So,
well, from what I've read... they want to, of course, the expiring contracts are going to be totally be on the table. So that's Rick Nash, that's Michael Grabner. Let me think. Nick Holden was another one, and then they're also talking about Ryan McDonagh, the team captain, who's a very good defenseman, who's making a very team friendly $4.7 million, and he's got another year left on the contract.
Right.
So, does that make sense? I mean.
It did when they traded Callahan. they pulled the trigger on that right away. So I don't think that they're too shy from doing it. So
I mean, maybe that's a Wayne Simmons like situation. I mean, McDonough's 28 now. By the time he's going to get re-upped, he's 30. So maybe they don't want to overpay him. I don't know. Here's the trump card and everything. Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got 4 years left on his contract. He said that he's fine staying there. He's good for the rebuild or whatever. Yeah. He loves it in Manhattan. Lundqvist is 35 years old.
He's not good for a rebuild. That's too old for a rebuild.
Because then by the time, you know, say it's a quick rebuild. You know, say it's 2 years. Say Ilya Kovalchuk signs with the Rangers, where I've heard there's some interest that he might want to. You can maybe turn things around kind of easily, but not if you get rid of Ryan McDonagh.
Yeah.
So, what do you? You're wasting the last few years of Henrik Lundqvist. Where isn't that where you start if you're going to rebuild? You trade. He could get such good value to a team the next couple years.
You can't. I don't think they're a team that you can rebuild in a couple years. They have some good pieces, but I think you're going to get rid of the key things that are keeping you good right now. So a fast rebuild for them, I think, is going to be 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and Lundqvist is a rebuild killer because you're not going to tank with a guy like that. He's going to win you games.
Yeah. You're going to be very mediocre. You're going to be a middle of the league team, not get a great draft pick, and just continue to flounder. So, yeah, I mean, I said it beginning of this season. Again, I thought trade him. You're going to get a lot for him. And yeah, it's going to stink for a couple years, but hey, you know, it's good for him too. He deserves to win a cup, so he can get him somewhere where he has a chance to do that.
Because I could almost see them doing like kind of a fake rebuild, like they're saying that all these pieces are available, and say they trade Nash and they trade Grabner, maybe get like they want ridiculous things for these guys. They want like a first high level prospect and like maybe a second for Nash, and you're not getting
Sorry. No.
Grabner, they want a first-round pick. You're not getting a first.
I don't know
when
Michael Grabner became such a commodity. Like he's a pretty good player. But
I mean, he has scored 20-something goals the last couple seasons.
That's what I'm saying. He's a pretty good player, but man, I've heard him valued so high, like insanely high. I think for what he is, he's scoring a lot because he's fast, and I think he'll continue to. But fast guys slow down.
Sure,
that's the problem. So,
I mean, even if they do trade those guys, what the Rangers can do is re-sign both of those guys because both really like playing there, and they'd probably be open to doing that. And then you bring them back at a lower contract.
Right.
You still get whatever you got out of those trades. You know, you're basically saying, all right, this is not our year. We're not strong enough to compete.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they're more planning to do. Now, if they trade Ryan McDonagh, that tells me that they're in more of a long-haul rebuild that's going to take 2-3 years. And then then what are you doing with Henrik Lundqvist? That doesn't make any sense. If you're going to trade McDonagh, you trade Lundqvist.
Sure, I can agree with that, because why are you keeping one or the other? Really, at that point, you're just running them into the ground at that point.
And Lundqvist carries an $8.5 million contract, too, so that's just not helping anything.
Yeah, I could see him going somewhere in the West, helping one of those teams. He's not going to, obviously, he's not going to go to, like, the Islanders. Rangers wouldn't. They wouldn't do that.
That'd be weird.
they wouldn't make that trade.
And then Tavares signs with the Rangers, and like everything's crazy.
It's just, that's not going to happen. I mean, if he's already got the mentality he's in for a rebuild, I mean, Buffalo, that'd be pretty crazy. But I mean, he could turn that team around real quick
as he just lets up a goal on the screen. I love when that happens. I don't know. Like, I don't think goaltending is really the issue too much in Buffalo. I think it's just a lack of depth there. I don't know. Like, obviously, we said the Islanders could need a goalie.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be Dallas. That was always the one, you know? Like, Dallas needs, they got all the scoring. They just can't stop the puck.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think there's as many teams in need of a goaltender.
Not like there was, you know, with Vasilevsky taking over in Tampa and Bishop going to Dallas. You know, there were a couple of the big question marks. I mean, maybe the Red Wings are going to be dumping goalies. You know, maybe they can get rid of both Howard and Mrazek somehow and then pick up Lundqvist.
How about Carolina?
Carolina.
Carolina would be a landing spot.
Yeah, and they got the defense that, that they can build in front of them. A couple good players there in Hanifin and Falk and...
Yeah.
Who's the other guy they got?
Pesci and Slavin.
Yeah, there you go. Slavin's the other guy I was thinking of.
Falk's on the way out, I think. But
yeah,
the,
yeah,
the other
but
guys are real
solid,
good, and Hayden Fleury's real good. They do have a good core defenseman there. But, yeah, it's funny. You look at all the teams in the Eastern Conference at the top of the standings, and they all have solid goaltending.
That's, you know, honestly, it's the next thing I just did was I was looking. I'm like, oh, Holpe and what's his face? Murray and Schneider. And yeah. Like, you go down the list.
Vasilevsky, like, yeah. And Rask. Yeah. And Freddie Anderson's having a good year. I mean,
Elliot, you know. Elliot's having a really good year, actually, though. You know,
he is.
You can't knock the guy.
Boy, when he was hurt, there were, you felt it, man. Yeah. Alex Lyon, I love how everybody's like, oh, give him a shot. These guys that I've never heard of, man, they're going to do well. No, these guys are not legitimate NHL goaltenders. And I'm sick of hearing about Stolar saying, when's he going to be ready? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Who cares? I felt like an idiot. I didn't realize I was saying Lyon's last podcast.
Yeah.
I know his name is Lyon.
Yeah, I was correcting you
and
guys.
Then after you corrected me for saying that, I was like, no, I wasn't saying that earlier. And then I listened to it, and I was like, damn, I was the whole time. Saying Lions is the whole time. That sounds cooler than Lion.
Yeah, I know, right?
Then it's just like, yeah, Lion in that.
Now, here's something, though. If you're the Nashville Predators, and I did hear this on a different podcast, so I don't want to claim the idea, but do you make a trade for Lundqvist? Trade Rene?
Pecker?
For Lundqvist, and obviously you're giving up something else, but, man, that's the Nashville Predators window right there, is the Lundqvist window.
Yeah.
It matches up perfectly.
Yeah. If you can get Pecker somewhere. Geez, we're like a mess. All kinds of noises. You're lucky I have a voice today. The last 2 days I was shot, so.
Yeah.
Between being sick and then screaming at the Super Bowl, so. But, yeah, I don't know. That would be pretty interesting. You know, St. Louis, I mean, you look at some of these teams in the West, I think you have a better, I think you got something more there to talk about having trade options. I mean, San Jose's got Jones. I think Jones is pretty good there, but you still are looking at an upgrade and getting Lundqvist. Calgary.
Yeah, Mike Smith's been really good for them.
He has been, yeah, but it's still Lundqvist is basically a future Hall of Famer at this point. He's an excellent, excellent goalie.
I mean,
so
Vegas has proved they don't need a goalie. They just go
whoever,
and they still win.
I think you could take down half of the team and they'd still win somehow. So they're an enigma.
Yeah,
plus 35 goals or 36, I think this is here.
Yeah, and Hellebuck's been great for Winnipeg, and St. Louis is interesting, but Hutton's been real good for them in a backup role. Jake Allen's been, you know, a little shaky, but I don't think they're the type of team that would make a move for a goalie. So. I don't know. Maybe there isn't the market for that. Maybe that's probably more of an off-season move anyway. But
can you imagine what Edmonton would give them? Edmonton's not good at judging value for their trades.
I know.
They would trade them like McDavid or something.
We're totally going for it this year. Take McDavid. But he's the best player. Shut up. Just take him.
just shut your mouth. Yeah, I don't get that. But yeah, I could see it happening still, though. There's not a huge market, but Lundqvist is still, to me, probably the best goalie in the league. I mean, Carey Price is, you know, you hear about, you know, that competition there.
I think he can be. I don't think he's been very good, but I don't think he's been the best. Like, I don't think he's really in the conversation for the Vezina.
No, but his team also has been not supporting him as much. So if you get him on a team that is ready to win something, I mean, he's going to be a Vezina candidate, I think, again, still, for the next couple of seasons. And that's the thing, is that that's starting to close for him, so... trade them to the Flyers.
I know I brought it up earlier, but the whole Kovalchuk thing, like I'd kind of forgotten about it. And then
his,
like,
beady eyes.
Yeah, he's going to come into the league next year as an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah,
there's nothing, like, the Devils had his rights for a year, and then that'll all be gone. And that's just, like, everybody's talking about Tavares as the hot ticket. Like, I know Kovalchuk's like 35, but he still can play, man.
Maybe Provorov can convince him.
I doubt they even know each other.
No, probably not. But yeah, but they both are Russian. I'm like, eh? Eh? That's all we got. That's all you need.
That's like me walking into a pizza place and just being like, eh, discount? Zamaro? Come on. Sir, I don't know you.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay.
Someone from California trying to convince you to move out there. Like, you don't know them. You've never met them. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
American.
We're Americans. Come on. Come on over here. What?
It's not how it works.
Oh, my God. I never thought I'd meet another Russian. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting for sure to see where he goes. Both Lundqvist and Kovalchuk. But
yeah.
To wrap up the Flyers, the Rangers conversation, rather. I am sticking to that. I agree with the decision to sell. I can see what you're saying, that maybe they're not going to go all out in a sell. It's kind of just a marketing tactic.
Yeah.
But
never seen the Rangers do like a rebuild.
Yeah, but they've got some contracts that they do need to move, so why not get something for them?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to like get creative with what they got, and I can see why they think they can't really compete. They don't really, nothing really stands out as like, oh man, these are some big building blocks here. Like Zuccarello is probably another guy that they'll end up trading. He's kind of cap friendly on the cap hit, so on the webpage. I mean, Zibanejad they just traded for. I don't know. Like, it's not a whole lot going on to get excited about if you really look at that roster. Buchnevich is a nice piece, but
yeah, screw the Rangers. I'm glad. Hope they crash and burn.
Well, do you think, I mean, just because a team says it's going to sell doesn't necessarily mean they're going to lose their games on purpose. So is this a team the Flyers can finish ahead of? I mean, well, let me phrase it this way. Who are the three teams the Flyers need to finish ahead of, in your opinion?
Well, Columbus.
Columbus?
Yeah.
Wow. I would think that would be a team. I would have them in. I think they're very good.
They are. But they're not, they're okay. They just lost three in a row. They're just playing okay. So I think that they're going to need to finish ahead, though. I think what you're going to find with Columbus, and I don't have a ton of facts to back this up other than his history, but I think that Tortorella's starting to wear off a little bit. He's not exciting for them anymore. He's just meh, whatever. He's him. So they're going to just play okay, I think, the rest of the season. I think they'll be lingering right in the playoff hunt. There's not a lot separating the wild card spots from the Metropolitan spots. You know, the top three is what I'm trying to say there.
Right.
So, yeah, they could definitely jump up into two or three. I can see that. But then again, so can the Flyers. So, you know, I don't want to count them out.
I mean,
I honestly think it's going to be Columbus. If I had to pick, I would say it's going to have to be probably Columbus, I think the Rangers. I'm reluctant to say New Jersey because they've been playing well.
They started off so hot, and you could see if you look at the standings, they've come down to earth.
Yeah.
So it means they haven't been playing as well lately. I mean, last 10, 5-5, no big deal. I think that's a team that they could pass. I think the ones that they won't catch are Washington. Pittsburgh's starting to turn it on now.
Yeah.
I texted you the other day. I'm like, they're going to three-peat. I hate them. And then, honestly, I think Columbus is a good team. I think they're going to shoot past the Flyers. But I think they could finish in fourth, to be honest. I think they could finish ahead of the Devils, ahead of the Islanders, who can't keep the puck out of their own net.
I know. That's the thing, is I don't think the Islanders are much of a threat. I think the Islanders are a threat to miss.
Yeah. And I think Carolina's a threat to miss again. They were in panic mode recently. The coach kind of gave it to them, and like, it was weird. I was listening to the first period on the radio as the Flyers played Carolina, and Tim Saunders and Coetzee, who sounded like he had a few again, as he does.
I feel so bad saying that, but there's no other way to describe it.
He was just, yeah, I don't want to bash him or anything like that, but man, he was just going off on these weird like tangents and like, I don't know. But anyhow,
it's just Coetzee being Coetzee.
But Tim Saunders was saying, you know, he said it on it quite a few times, like, boy, the Flyers are going to have a tough time tonight because the Carolina Hurricanes have been challenged by their coach and by their GM, and, you know, that they haven't been playing well, and that, you know, this is their time.
Yeah.
And they came out so flat against the Flyers. And, you know, Saunders kept saying it, like, boy, I expected them to be all over the Flyers, and they're just not.
worst part is the Flyers still struggled.
I know. Yeah.
That's the sad part. But honestly, and I think that I can make this prediction feeling pretty confident, is I think exactly where the Metropolitan is right now for the top five is where it's going to stay for the rest of the season. There's going to be some movement up and down, stuff like that. I think it's going to be, I'm going to go as far as say it's going to be in this order.
The order that it is now?
Yep. I'd
so you got them fourth as well.
Yeah, I'd go so far as to say that this is the exact lineup that the five Metropolitan teams will be in. Capitals, Penguins, Devils, Flyers, BJs.
Yeah, I just think you could swap Columbus and New Jersey for me. I don't know. Like, the more I'm getting a little more confident that I think the Flyers can be a playoff team now. Again, I still like Washington, Pittsburgh, and Columbus. I think they're the top three. And then I don't know who the next best is. Like, those next five are just tough. But the Rangers are struggling. I don't know. I can see the Flyers, and, you know, it's probably going to be Carolina or the Islanders. I don't know. Yeah, maybe Jersey hangs on. I really don't know. It's
close.
It's crazy.
I mean, getting
close.
Down to the Rangers is still close. The Rangers are just, you know, a couple points, 3 points out. Even Florida could potentially still go on some. You know, if the other teams kind of stink it up, like there's been stretches of for everybody in the Metro. If they, you know, Florida could even jump back up. I think Detroit's pretty much out of it at this point.
I think the Islanders are tight right now with the whole Tavares thing hanging over them and everything. Yeah. Like, there's an urgency to make the playoffs, and I don't know. I think it's affecting them in a negative way, to be honest. So I don't know. They're going to need to turn that around. I still think it's so strange that if I have a hard time seeing him going somewhere else, but man, why isn't he signed yet? Like, that's weird.
It is. And they've got the stadium thing figured out now. You know, like, there's a little bit more assurance here.
But the whole thing with that is, like, you know, they were saying, like, he wants stability and, you know, where the team is going to be playing. That stadium's not going to be built for 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, he's almost halfway through the next contract by the time that's built. So, is that as big of a deal as we thought? Or, like, I don't know.
Well, do you want to hang on a team that's perpetually looking up at the cutoff line for the playoffs? I mean, that's where they've been the last few seasons. They're always just scratching, hoping to get back into that.
Yeah, and they haven't re-signed his line mate yet.
They haven't. All they've done is taken away from this team in the last few seasons. They have not added, like, anything. I mean, you got Eberle on the team, which is great.
Yeah, another Edmonton steal.
Yeah, but I don't know what it is with the team. Just give them all their talent. The NHL keeps giving it to them. They keep giving it away.
But Josh Bailey is a unrestricted free agent, and
he's playing awesome.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what the consensus is there. You're not adding anything of substance to the team, really, for the most part, and you keep just taking things away here and there. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't. Part of me says I can't see him going anywhere, but part of me is like, well, exactly what you're saying. Like, something probably should have been at least talked about at this point. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, at least they get their goaltending. Like, they can get rid of Halak next year if they want to. I mean, he's been the better out of him and Greiss, but Greiss is locked up for another 2 years, so that could be one of those. Maybe the Islanders get the trickle-down effect of a guy like Lundqvist going somewhere.
Yeah.
Whoever that team gets rid of, take...
Maybe even like a three-way trade setup.
Yeah, you know? They'd get some hand-me-downs or something. But, yeah, again, like we kind of said about the Rangers, like, I think the Islanders have more pieces to be excited about than the Rangers do.
Yeah.
Like Matthew Barzal and, you know, if you do bring back Tavares, Eberle, good player. Can you believe Eberle's the highest-paid player on that team?
Yeah, not too shabby.
It just shows how undervalued Tavares was at 5.5. But, I mean, they got Andrew Ladd for another 6 years. I don't know. They got some pieces, but I don't know. I kind of like the Flyers where they're sitting, like long-term plans.
Yeah,
I kind of like looking at how the Flyers are doing.
And you mentioned this probably about a season ago now, as you said that the Flyers, where they're at in their building process, is kind of great. that they're going to be in the upswing while all the other big contenders are on the downswing. And you're looking at it, and Tampa's their big competition now. Not Pittsburgh's still hanging on. You're right. They're still a good team, but
Toronto will be too.
Yeah. How much longer is Pittsburgh going to hang around with some of these guys aging? Obviously, they're doing it right now, but Rangers, obviously, they're one of the bigger ones that they're taking. They're tanking a little bit. So we thought Boston would be one, but they're a team that's excelling right now.
Yeah, they're ahead of schedule. I mean, I was amazed. I thought they'd be okay. I thought maybe they'd sneak into the playoffs just because the Atlantic's not that good. But man, they are looking like contenders, and it's that top line, and then they're getting secondary scoring, and then Charlie McAvoy's been really good as a rookie defenseman. I mean, I know he gets to play with Chara, so that helps him. But Chara looks like Chara sometimes too, like that,
which is funny because he looked down and out for a little while there. But yeah. he's starting to shine a little bit again.
So they're going to be a fun team, and then they got all these rookies playing, and they're. It was one of those teams that, like, you look at and you see the similarities with, like, to the Flyers.
Yeah.
You know, you got the old core, young core type of thing. Maybe they got more stability in goaltending because they've had Rask for a while.
Yeah.
But a lot of similarities there, and the Bruins seem to have a winning formula.
They've got the real solid two-way players that are kind of rougher players too, like Bergeron's the leader of that.
Mm.
Everybody knows the story of him playing with his a collapsed lung and stuff. Like the guys, he's a warrior, and that's the kind of guys that you need, that they carry your team, and they're the kind of guys that I don't see on a team like the Rangers. You know, like they had that, but especially if you're going to get rid of someone like McDonough, you're getting rid of those guys that are the do everything kind of guys. So.
Yeah, but you look at that top line in Boston: Bergeron, Marchand, Pasternak. And you compare it to the Flyers with Couturier, Giroux, Konechny, and it's like, aren't they the same thing?
Yeah.
Like, you got Couturier and Bergeron. I'm not saying Couturier is as good as Bergeron, but same
He's
type
a very
of player.
Similar player, yeah.
You look at Marchand and Konechny. They're both pests. Both pests with skill. Now, I'm not saying Konechny's as good as Marchand is, but, he's
a much smaller nose.
Yeah, but he's that type of player. He plays with an edge. He does have some skill. You're starting to see it as he's playing with skilled players. And then you look at Giroux and Pasternak, and Giroux's a better player than Pasternak, but Pasternak's young, so it's just weird. Like, you see a very similar top line there, and then you look at the back line, and you got McAvoy and you got Provorov, and it's like these young guys that are coming in and playing 25 plus minutes a night and being offensive contributors too. I mean, McAvoy gets more of an opportunity with the first power play unit.
Yeah.
Provorov gets second, and the second unit doesn't see a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
But it's really neat. Like, they're very, very similar in my opinion.
Pasternak makes $6,666,666 a year. Why would you sign that contract? Like, I don't take a lot of the numbers, but still a little something tells
because
me.
Because he's an atheist.
Something tells me that I wouldn't want to do that. Still a little superstitious. I was listening to Superstitious on the way here. I turned on the I like Sirius for some things like that. The 70s genre came on. It's like, it starts up. That song gets you pumped when it starts up. So that was fun. Not that anybody needed to know that.
But the Bruins are up there in cap, not much cap space, to be honest. They're right up against it. So I don't know if they're going to be able to make any moves at the deadline to kind of go for it. But
Chara would be, unfortunately, I know you're saying he's playing well. He's one of the guys that you might look at possibly.
No, they're going to make a run this year.
Char's done after the season. That's the thing. So that's the only reason why is I think that he's good, and he's a good player, and he's a role player, and maybe somebody that you would for a run or something. But if anyone's going to leave the team at the trade deadline, you're going to have to bring something else in. I'm not saying it would be for future prospects.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think they're going to lean on him in the playoffs. I think the Bruins can smell their way into the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah,
and I know it sounds crazy because Tampa's in their division, but the way it looks, the Bruins are going to match up against the Maple Leafs in the first round. It's
right.
A team they've had a lot of success against, recently. They seem to be in their heads. I think it's a good matchup for the Bruins. And then Tampa's going to have to play a team from the Metro in the first round.
Right.
Whether it's the Flyers or Columbus or something. Like, it's not going to be an easy first round.
Tampa's going to wear them down.
Yeah. So
Boston's not going to have to play Tampa. They're not going to have to play them until...
The second round.
Until... Well, they wouldn't have to play them until the finals if that's how it were, right?
No, because you fight your way out of your division. So you get them in the second round.
Not reseeded then.
No.
Gotcha. No, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, one team from the Metro would come over and take like the fourth spot in the Atlantic, and then you fight your way through that.
And then if they win, they'd have to fight their way out of the opposite division.
Yes.
Okay.
The team that comes over.
Yeah. So a Metro.
That's
team.
Like the Rangers did last year. They beat Montreal, and then they had to fight Ottawa.
I always forget that they don't reseed afterwards.
Yeah, it's weird. I think they're going to change that pretty soon too. I think once Seattle joins, I think everything will be up in the air.
I think they need to change all of this. I'm not a huge, huge fan of the format right now.
Yeah, you know what? I don't like it either, because the whole thing with that is they like to have the big matchups in the first round. They want, you know, Chicago, St. Louis. They want Philly, Pittsburgh.
Or, yeah.
You know, Boston, Montreal. They want that first round. I don't think the first round needs any help. The first round of the playoffs is awesome.
Yeah.
That's when you see the best hockey in the first round, because everybody's somewhat healthy and just do or die type of thing. When you get to the second round of the playoff, man, you got some injuries going, and the speed slows down just a little bit. And I think, you know, the second and third round is where you'd like to see the big...
You want to see the rivalries. Then.
You want to see the best teams. Yeah. And in this, it doesn't always give you the best teams coming through.
The thing is, also from, I think, a marketing perspective, is that you have so many games in the first round of the playoffs that you're bound to get some rivalries. Like, if you're looking for exciting TV, like, yeah, you're right, it's going to be exciting anyway. But if you want to market it as, like, Flyers-Pittsburgh, you're probably going to get one of those series anyway in the first round, no matter what.
Yeah.
But then when you get less games, you're going to get more of those big-name matchups where, I don't know, if you have a Washington-Toronto game in the second round or the third round or something like that. Like, no, I don't really care. Like, it's like they don't play each other a ton, so it's not as exciting.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, wouldn't you have rather last year seen Pittsburgh-Washington in the Eastern Conference Final rather than second round?
Yeah.
Because then the Eastern Conference Final became Ottawa and Pittsburgh. And
yeah, I don't care about that. Yeah.
The way, because Pittsburgh and Washington were the 1 and 2 seeds last year, they wouldn't have had to meet until the Eastern Conference Final, and I think they both would have got there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think you put too much value into the first round, and then I think everybody kind of tunes out after that.
Yeah. I kind of like the whole wild card setup as it is right now, but I think once you get to that point, reseed everyone.
Yeah.
Once
you basically
start,
do wild cards just to determine who gets in type of thing. Yeah, I could see that. I mean... Honestly, at that point, when you have even, if you're going to have 8 teams in each division once Seattle joins or whatever, why not just top 8 again?
Yeah.
Top 8 or 1 through 16, baby.
1 through 16
I wouldn't mind that
fun.
Either.
Yeah.
I know it's the travel thing that's the big issue, but.
Again, wouldn't mind. I might make, you take a risk of making the team seem a little less organized, but I really wouldn't mind seeing it alternate every year. Have the best team from the East play the best team from the West this year. Next year, 1 through 16. Like, just net back and forth like that. I think it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. I don't know.
It'll be interesting to see what they come up with, because the league doesn't like keeping things the same for too long.
And they change things up pretty often.
Yeah, and once, like, new teams start coming in, they'll decide, because they're going to have to rearrange probably a team out of the Pacific, I guess, because you obviously want Seattle in the Pacific Division, so you got to move somebody to the Central, which I guess would be Arizona. Or
yeah, when they move to Houston.
Or they'll find a way to just make, like, why not do it like football? Have 8 divisions. Works there with 32 teams.
Right.
You know, 4 teams in each. I don't get how everybody freaks out when you realign divisions, because you're like, oh my God, they're going to take away the division rivalries. Like, what if I saw one that was, it had the Flyers and Pittsburgh in different divisions. And people were like, oh my God, you can't do that. You can't ruin that rivalry. Oh, so they're going to meet 3 times instead of 4. Like,
yeah,
what's the big difference? Yeah. You know, like, Yeah, I get it if you're moving one to the Western Conference and you're only going to see him twice or something. But if it's a matter of seeing him four or five times or three or four, I don't think it's a big deal.
And NHL knows what they're doing, so when they schedule it, they probably would just have them scheduled for four. They'd be one of the teams that you play a little extra, you know?
Some of the best Flyers rivalries were teams not in their division, like Buffalo. Buffalo was a fantastic rivalry in the, you know, early 2000s, and they had the biggest bench-clearing brawl ever against the Ottawa Senators,
right,
who were not in their division.
And I think with Boston, they had a pretty good rivalry for a long time.
Yeah.
It's a little bit... Both the teams sucked for a little while, so I think that diminishes it. But once they meet in the playoffs again, that's going to spark right back up.
Yeah.
Flyers beat them to win their first Stanley Cup, so.
Right.
They've
met in the playoffs a bunch of times, like I was saying, in the, you know, that span where the Sabres wore those evil black and red jerseys.
Yeah, right. The ones that we wear.
Yeah, I know. That's why we got them. Like they're evil, but they look pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, man. So I know there's something that you want to talk about a little bit. MVPs for the season.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking of it. Like, who? As the season went along and we got halfway through, it was kind of Nikita Kucherov's award to lose.
Yeah.
And not that he's like lost it, but the field caught up with him.
Yeah.
If you look at the point standings. So I was just curious, like, who do you think, who would be your finalists, I guess, and why?
I mean, I still lean towards Kucherov just because I think he means a lot to the team. I think that he came out from Stamkos' shadow, so I think that he has a little bit more of the storyline with it. Where he surprised everyone, kind of.
He proved last year he could do it on his own. This year, it's just he's doing it, and also Stamkos is there. They're not always even playing on the same line or anything either. So, I think he's still in the conversation. I think he's still probably a top three guy.
Yeah.
Nathan MacKinnon was another guy people were talking about. I don't know if he... They got to make the playoffs for that to happen, the Avalanche.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they're going to. They are currently... Oh, I got the wrong thing up there. Wild card. Currently, they are out of the playoffs, but not by much. Only a point. So, if they make the playoffs, I mean, it'd be pretty... it'd be a pretty fantastic thing for them because nobody had them making the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's why I'll run a name by you. Taylor Hall of the Devils. I mean... Who had the Devils making the playoffs this year? Nobody. That's almost Colorado level of, like, they were supposed to be really bad.
And, yeah, not only to, you know, hey, there's still a chance that they could not, being that it's so close. But, I mean, they were solidly in for a long time in the season. So, I mean, that's the possibility. I don't think he's scored enough to get that, but.
Well, you look at it, he's got 52 points in 47 games.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
He missed, like, I think three games with a hand injury, and I think the Devils got shut out in, like, two of them and lost the other. Like, it showed. And he's got 52 points. The next guy on the team has 31.
Yeah. Not too shabby.
Like, he's carrying that team.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he's not going to be a finalist, because you're right. It's not, like, a sexy pick. He's not on one of these big teams, and you know, he doesn't really have the huge point totals because he's probably what, like 15 off the mark. I don't know what if Kucherov's still in first or not.
Yeah, he's got 66 points total.
Okay, so 14 points off.
Yeah,
it's like I said, it's not a sexy pick, but I think he deserves some consideration. I mean, again, nobody had the Devils being this good,
right?
And a lot of it is because Edmonton doesn't know how to make trades.
The unfortunate thing is, well, for them, is that Kessel, and I didn't realize Malkin was so far up the list, too.
Well,
he's quietly had a very good season.
He's got like 30 goals now, too. And Pittsburgh's got like three guys in the top 10, and I think that almost works against them, though.
Yeah, it's like, all right, you don't need... You're not the most valuable player, because...
Yeah. You guys are barely in the playoffs, and you got three top 10 scorers.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on there.
Number four, though, and down a list is Voracek. I mean, if the thing for me with Voracek, for him, if he was going to be considered, just to consider a Flyer, is that he would have to... Voracek hasn't even turned on his scoring. That's the scary part, is that if he's able to somehow in the last 29 games, you know, maybe in a couple games, maybe even just in the last 20 games, can pick up his goal scoring and get to a... I don't know, just put in another 10 goals or something like that while he's still accumulating his assists. There's going to be something to be said there for him because he's right there. He's got so many assists.
And he's driving that line, too. He's made Nolan Patrick better. He's, you know, he's put a little spark into Simmons lately. There's been a big difference, and that's how the Flyers turned their season around, was becoming a two-line team instead of a one-line team. So a lot of credit goes to Voracek on that. But, I mean, is he the Flyers MVP, though, like, if you look at it that way?
And that's the thing, is it's, I think that that's the weird part, is there's a lot of Flyers that deserve a lot of credit right now. Couturier might be a candidate for a Flyers MVP, just from the amount he's turned around and how much he's meant to the first line.
Yeah, you look at, he had a career high of, 39 points before, so you look at what he's doing, it's like, oh my God, he's having the best season ever. But is it better than the season that Giroux's having, or better than the season that Voracek's having? And I don't know. It's really close between all of them, I think. And then, you know, Provorov, of course, is like the unsung hero kind of back there. Gostisbehere's having a fantastic season.
He really is,
point
too,
wise. And he's really changed his game. So I don't know. I think between the five of them, you got a lot going on.
That's the thing, is that for Voracek to be named the MVP of the league, he probably would have to be the MVP of his team. And it's tough to say because they have a lot of very talented guys. And Giroux's not far off with points either. I think he's got 56 or something like that. So,
yeah.
Or 58 maybe even. So it's not like he's having a too shabby of a season either. So just to make some kind of push for him, I can see that, but he's going to have to turn it up a little bit here. He's only 4 points off of the top points in the league, which is pretty awesome because it's always fun when a Flyer's up there, but he's going to have to do something a little special here to end the season.
Yeah, it is interesting. Another guy we just watched him score a goal a little while ago. Patrice Bergeron is having a fantastic year. And again, we just talked about how good the Bruins are, and, you know, big ups to him. I mean, Marchand's been good too when he's not getting suspended.
Why not?
But
follow your nose.
Bergeron's got to be in that conversation. Connor McDavid might win the scoring title again, but if the Oilers don't make the playoffs, really tough to give it to them.
It's tough. They're just not good.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened again, but it's tough. I mean, your team has to be much better for you to be in that hunt. And that's the thing with, again, not to keep going back to Voracek, it's not like this is a Flyers podcast or anything, but for him to win it, the Flyers are going to obviously have to be in the playoffs. And I don't think they can squeak into a wild card spot, and then you can consider one of the players the best in the league. You're going to have to be a little more, might have to overtake New Jersey for that to help his chances.
I wonder if there's ever been an MVP that didn't make the playoffs.
I don't know. I'm not good at looking up stats like that.
I don't feel like doing it. But
whenever I see those trivia questions on Flyers games or wherever you see them, and they're that detailed, like the only Flyer to ever win, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how the hell do you even look that up? Like, I'm not a statistician. I have no idea how to do that stuff.
That's why it'd be good for Quizzo, because then you can't look it up on your phone.
Yeah.
You just got to know it.
Yeah, how the hell do you even do that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And don't forget Ovechkin.
Yeah.
Ovechkin's having a great season. And, you know, Washington was supposed to take a big step back this year, and yeah, they're not President's Trophy right now, but they're in first place in the division. So, little credit to him as well. I think one other guy I threw in there was Tyler Seguin. He's really starting to heat up. And Dallas, you know, they were a team not in the playoffs last year, starting to look pretty good.
I like Dallas. I thought that they were going to have a better season than they are so far. I thought they were going to be a much more solid team up there in the standings, but they're not doing too shabby. So,
yeah.
I did want to get into a couple more Facebook things before we wrap up the show this evening.
Oh, yeah, Facebook. We were doing that.
We were doing those things. Well, you know what? We didn't really... we only have a couple more that I wanted to get to, and we talked about the ones that we planned on talking about early on so that we didn't steal ideas, or at least come off that we were stealing ideas.
Okay.
Because we're not, damn it.
We do plenty of stealing, but we're trying not to do it for Facebook.
We very much admit when we do.
Yeah.
Josh Schuster always has to test me. He says he feels that the team has some decent chemistry that has been forming since December. What are our thoughts on the chemistry front there?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a team that generally likes each other. You know, there don't seem to be any bad seeds in there that they're, you know, disrupting the chemistry. Last year, I think you saw a little bit of it with Mason.
Yeah.
You know, he was kind of rubbing people the wrong way. And
Steve.
Yeah, you're not seeing any of that this year. So, yeah, I think it's, Boston again, 4-1.
I don't.
Hank, what's happening here?
He's trying to get traded now. I don't see the camaraderie that I've seen in Flyers teams in the past, though, either.
No?
Where they're, like, really connect. Don't get me wrong. I think that they are a solid group, but I think I've seen Flyers in recent history that were much more just friendly and having more fun. It seems like these guys get along, but it seems a little more business than it does them just having fun. I think a team that really does well in the playoffs is these teams that you see just laughing all the time, having a good time on the bench. And I don't know if that's Hackstall's mentality that kind of makes things less fun in the locker room, but it just seems like it's a little bit more of a mellow, no disagreements really, nothing going on wrong, but also not like anything. And it's, you can go wrong that other way as well. You can go with like everyone's too friendly and it's a party type atmosphere. You don't want that either. But
yeah, it was good to see them all. Well, not all of them, but a lot of them at the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, in the crowd and hanging out with each other, and you know it. It's nice to see them taking that in and seeing how the city reacts to a winner. You know, we might have talked about this before, but I think that's, you know, that they definitely took notice of that.
And that's the cool thing, too, with the Eagles winning that, is that I think a lot of the young guys seeing that and seeing how the city reacts to stuff like that, like, they're going to want that to be for them now. Like, they already did. Don't get me wrong. It's not like they were like, well, now I want to win.
But we want our fans assaulting people on the parking lot.
I think that when you see that atmosphere and you see what the city can bring and that excitement and how much it would mean to them. I mean, the Eagles hadn't won any Super Bowls, you know, so it took 52 years for them to win that. Flyers are getting close to that, mark since the last time they've won. So, you know, it would mean just as much to Flyers fans.
Which is always weird to me that they were, like, everybody made a big deal about, like, the Eagles never won a Super Bowl. Yeah, but they did win a champion, like, NFL championship.
It's their fourth championship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just because they decided to call it something different means the first three didn't count.
New error.
But that'd be like, and maybe they should do this, is, you know, talk about hockey differently, like, pre-expansion.
Yeah.
There were six teams in the league. Of course the Canadians won a lot of Stanley Cups. Your average was to win, like, two a decade.
But there was
50 years of it.
Like, the Super Bowl's like the coming of Jesus. They were just counting down the years, and then they got to zero, and they're like, what now? And then Jesus came and fixed it everything for everyone. They're like, guys, up. We go up now. I see the Super Bowl is the same way. So we don't count BC. Yeah. What happened then? Like, pyramids and stuff? Who cares?
Yeah, like who won the NFC Championship, like, in 66 or whatever the last year it was? Like, those guys got really screwed.
Like, they just completely forgotten about. The next year, everyone's like, yeah, but that wasn't the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Nothing counts until now.
It's not even a bowl that they're winning.
Yeah.
It's just a football on a stick. It's not better than the Super Football on the Stick.
Which once again proves that hockey does have the best trophy.
I said that like 10 times on Sunday.
Yeah. That Lombardi trophy is just not cool. I mean, it's okay.
It's fine. Yeah.
The worst is the Soccer World Cup.
Yeah.
Like, once every 4 years, and it's this tiny little thing. Like, you just hold it with one hand, and like, it almost gets lost in your hand. Like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't like
those. The cup's awesome.
But yeah, the cup's pretty special. Yeah, where was I with these questions? I think I had more on here. Charles Delp says, I'll take Oscar Lindblom with a side of Mike Vecchione. Hold the Ian LaPerriere, Yuri Laterra, and Dale Weiss, please. I'm not sure what he has against LaPerriere.
Well, the penalty kill sucks. Like, I don't want anybody to ever lose their job. But when you're consistently like the worst in the NHL in penalty killing, like, don't you look to the guy that's your your penalty kill strategist. Because it's been different guys in and out of the lineup, you know? Like, we totally different penalty killers last year. Like, Belmar and Vandevelde and, you know, defensemen were different, and but they're still horrible at it. So, you know, either come up with a plan or
get out.
Like, you know, hey, he's a hero here because he took a slap shot in the face.
Twice.
Yeah. I mean, all joking aside, like, yeah, sure, he's a former player and they love him here, but, I mean,
yeah,
it's got to be addressed soon, right?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
It's really a weakness to this team.
I didn't really think of it that way.
If they were just, like, mediocre, if they were 15th in the league in penalty kill, they'd probably have another three wins this year.
Yeah.
And then you're sitting pretty in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it could come down to their penalty kill as the make or break of why this team doesn't make the playoffs.
Okay. Last one on here is Mike McCormick. He says, Patrick is looking healthy and strong. Will this lead to more points from the second line?
I'm sorry. I was just watching the Bruins score again.
on a penalty kill, I think, this time.
I think so, too.
Because McAvoy just murdered the goalie, I believe.
Hmm.
Or on a power play. I thought I saw McAvoy go to bench, go to penalty box for some reason.
And it was Bergeron again. Yeah, they only got four guys out there. So either it was 4-0-4 or something. Is that Marchand, too?
The rat. Anyway.
So, I'm sorry.
Patrick is looking healthy and strong. Will this lead to more points from the second line?
He does look better, doesn't he?
He looks second half of the season.
Looks healthier. Yeah, it's that hip injury stuff, man. That's a big thing. So, yeah, he looks better. Obviously, they see something because they moved him up to the second line.
Yeah.
And he's like the next guy on the power plays, or he's like the sixth guy when they pull the goalie at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So they see something in him,
yeah.
You know, and he came through that game. Was it Ottawa where he scored with like 2 seconds left or something to tie it? Like,
yeah.
You know, Nolan Patrick got him a point there. That was a nice goal. So yeah, I think it is going to help. I mean, you're not going to see like super flashy numbers, but
no,
if he turns into a solid two-way guy and can be a second line center.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Filppula now, he's down on the fourth line.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Doesn't look like he's going to be back next year, does it?
Can't imagine it. It was somebody that I thought could come back for a good, you know, basement price, but it's not looking like the value is going to match it there anymore. So and that's a good thing, honestly, because you got a younger guy that's filling that role. So not too upset with that.
Yeah. But we haven't, like, as much as we kill Hakstol for his lineups and everything, like, we haven't seen Dale Weiss in a while,
right?
You know, like, that's, our prayers have been answered.
Yeah, yeah. I know, poor Weissy.
Although, would you take him over Laterra, though?
I would myself. I'm not a big, I don't like Laterra at all. I think he doesn't add a single thing. At least Weiss once in a while does something, cuts in the middle, surprises you. You know what, the last few games that he played, he worked hard. So
worked hard along the boards,
yeah,
get pucks in deep.
Pretty much. So I'm
kind of with you, though. Like, it's not that I don't like Laterra, but I just don't see why he's earned a spot.
Yeah, exactly. I think he's just trying something else, and just, you know, it's not hurting anything. So
it just might be out. One of those like brain fart things with Weiss, or Dutch Gretzky, as he's known. That's one of the funniest things. I was on eBay the other day and I saw a Dale Weiss signed puck, and he actually wrote Dutch Gretzky
on awesome.
It.
That's awesome.
Because you know the backstory of that.
I don't know it too well.
During the last lockout, he went over and played in some like Dutch league. And
awesome.
He was like a 2 point per game guy.
Nice.
So they crowned him Dutch Gretzky because he was like the only NHL guy playing in that league.
Yeah, he's probably like all 5 year olds playing.
But maybe it's just a brain fart thing with him where like maybe he can't play fourth line minutes.
Yeah.
Like maybe he needs to be out there more because you never see him on the fourth line. He's
right.
Either like he's always on that third line getting lots of time. So maybe that's it. Maybe it's a third line or nothing with that guy.
I guess. I mean, that's how Couturier felt for a little while, but not comparing the two. But
yeah.
Some guys fit a role better. That's all.
Yeah.
But yeah. All righty. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up for us here.
Our last show in Philadelphia?
I know, right? Isn't that crazy? Ever. No.
maybe.
Try to do so. Depends how well we do
it.
Lord
knows what's going to happen.
It could go one of two ways. We could do so well in Vegas that we make a lot of money and we want to stay, or we could do so bad in Vegas that we can't afford to get home.
This is true.
So
either way, we are not coming back.
But yeah, we're gonna try to do something at least probably a low quality show.
Yeah, because we won't have we're not gonna have the good equipment or anything.
I'm not bringing everything out. This isn't a business trip. This is a personal trip. So I'm gonna bring a mic. It's gonna sound like a bunch of people in a room yelling, mostly because it will be a bunch of people in a room yelling. So
yeah,
but it'll be fun.
And there's probably going to be some alcohol mixed in there. So
yeah, this is going to
put a disclaimer out there.
I think I'm going to not make this one of the like quote unquote episodes. This will just be like an extra thing that we do.
Bonus.
Yeah, like a drunk history type episode.
Right.
So it'll be fun. But yeah, that's the last time. This is the last show that we'll have in the city until the following week. But we're still going to try to get you some content. This way, we're not leaving these gaps in here like we've been.
And you started an Instagram account.
Correct. We are Broadcast Bullies. Find us on Instagram. I'm going to start putting some like behind-the-scenes stuff, if you will.
Yeah, you just took a picture of me, and I wore a Rangers jersey.
Yeah, our first picture of our Instagram is you in a Rangers jersey. So I'll make sure that was up there.
If people are new, yeah, I'm not. It's not treason here. I own jerseys of 30 of the 31 teams.
Just some light treason.
Yeah, I do not have Vegas yet. That may change by the next time you hear this.
Yeah.
But still haven't found a low-cost jersey. I get a lot of these on deals and eBay and stuff like that. But I do have multiple jerseys of many teams. And I just happened to say, like, oh, who's on TV tonight? And it was the Bruins and Rangers. I was like, well, we're going to talk Rangers tonight, so I'll throw a Rangers jersey on. Of course, you're posting on Instagram. So
yeah, I mostly started the Instagram account because I want to be able to have a good source to put all of our Vegas pictures in. I don't want to be on my phone too much. I'm not really, as much as I love technology, I'm more so the type to leave my phone in my pocket on trips because that's more fun.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try the night of the game, take some good snaps and put them on Instagram. So we're branching out here, hopefully getting some more things going. I have much more free time now, so hopefully there will be much more content on there. And we won't have these long gaps like we've had.
Yeah, I still don't yet, but you can always carry on the podcast without me.
Yeah,
because we have plenty of other guys.
I'm the equipment manager for the, podcast. That's the only reason why.
Well, I mean, we have a team. We have, you know, Costa and Mysterious Brian, so there's other guys that fill in here, but I could never do the podcast without you because you have all the equipment.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
I'm easily replaceable.
You guys almost did because I had almost no voice to start the day on Sunday or on last Wednesday, rather, when we did the podcast. So I was already sick pre Super Bowl. So, but anyway, that's all I got for you this wonderful evening. The Flyers had a fun win in Carolina. Mm-hmm. Here, actually, at home. Was it at home? Why don't I remember that?
No, was it that Carolina? Was not at home.
Yeah, that's right. No. That was the last game. The next game is tomorrow.
Yep. Where they'll be right after the Eagles fans rip up the city again. Oh, so who knows what'll happen there.
Yeah.
Maybe the Canadians won't be able to get there and we'll get a forfeit win.
Like, so sorry, we were here. But that'd be pretty awesome. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. As always, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/broadcastbullies. On Twitter, we are at Bullies Podcast. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, all that kind of stuff. Search for Broadcast Bullies or Flyers Hockey. And also now on Instagram, search for Broadcast Bullies.
And by the rare chance that anybody's out in Vegas for this game, let us know.
Yeah, shoot a message to us for sure. That'd be a lot of fun.
Hang out, man.
Yeah. I'll buy you a beer.
You can buy me a beer.
Well, I meant whoever comes to hang out.
They can buy me a beer.
Yeah, for sure. If anybody's going to be out there that's listening, please shoot us a message. That'd be a lot of fun. We'll see you at the stadium. So until next time, let's go Flyers.